From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of March 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, will help us look at the cash grain market. And we'll hear all the agricultural news for the day from Dave Dickey. He's your director of agricultural programming. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. More than 300 producers attended the 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Soon we will be posting audio from the meeting on our website at willag.org. Click on the link in the right navigation window for the 2011 meeting. Our thanks to our agribusiness partners whose support made the 2011 meeting possible: AgriGold Hybrids, Archer Daniel Midland Company, Pioneer, the Andersons, Bates Commodities, Farm Credit Services, Risk Management Commodities, and Stuart Peterson Group.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the nearby wheat contracts settled the March futures at 732 1/4, down 19 for the soft red in Chicago. May futures at 758 3/4, 21 cents lower. July at $7.91, down 20 1/4, or rather 20 1/2. And September futures there at 826 1/4, down 19 1/4. March corn futures at $6.95, 3 3/4 lower. The May at 701, down 4 1/2. July 707, down 4 cents. And September, 654 1/4, penny and 3/4 lower. December futures up 1/4 at $6.10 1/4. March soybean futures at 1344, down 31 1/2. The May at 1349, 33 lower. July at 1357 1/4, down 32 3/4, and the August beans at 1350 3/4, down 29 1/2. November contract $13.20, a settlement price down 26. March bean meal at 348.50, down 6.90. March soybean oil at 56.67, down 130 on the day. April live cattle futures at 117.52 1/2, up 272 1/2. March feeders at 132.20, up $1.02 1/2, and the April lean hog futures settled at $89.75 per 100 pounds, up 62 1/2. The May at $100 1/5, up 65 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading $104.18 a barrel, down 84 cents in the lead option April. Ethanol at 254 3/10, a penny and 8 cents lower. Natural gas at 392 1/10, 5 7/10 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.06 8/10, up 1 nickel and 6 tenths. And the gold futures for the day, $2.40 higher. Their settlement price, $1,400.29 30. Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 12 points higher at 12,226. The dollar at 76.7 is down 0.08. And the CRB for the day at 360.25 is down 0.84 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Wednesday afternoon. They say skies will be cloudy. The high near 50 degrees, west winds at around 15 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 22 tonight. A chance of rain before midnight, then a chance of rain and snow. Cloudy, a low of 31. West-northwest winds between 14 and 16 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 23. On Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 26. West-northwest winds between 10 and 13. They'll gust as high as 16. Friday should see sunny skies, a high near 51 degrees. Southwest winds between 3 and 9. And Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 39 degrees. Saturday, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 49. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 26. Sunday, partly sunny, the high of 44. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 28. And Monday should see mostly cloudy skies, a high near 43. Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 29. Tuesday should be mostly sunny, the high near 51. We'll catch up on a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe when we talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the commodity markets. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd. A lot of fun being with you yesterday.
It was a whole lot of fun at the all-day Ag Outlook. Those who are interested can hear what happened there yesterday pretty shortly. I don't think it's up on the website just yet, but it will be posted to willag.org in the very near future. So, Paul, what did you learn yesterday that you didn't know, maybe? And more importantly, what did you see in the marketplace today?
I want my tenant to buy a big backhoe.
You know, I think that's a wonderful deal.
And I tell you what, Murray Wise is an interesting gentleman to talk to. I enjoy talking to him. A lot of old friends, and it was very relaxing give and take. And we did try to think a little bit outside the box and try to give more suggestions on how everyone can hit at least a double or a triple in marketing and thinking a little bit outside the box. And I know several times people tried to give suggestions, and I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, what did you think, what was the feeling overall, do you think, of the panels towards the corn market in the future and the soybean market in the future? Were they friendly, neutral, bearish?
Oh, I think the old crop corn was friendly.
Right.
And I think it's still a guessing game on acreage as far as the mixture is concerned, both on corn and new crop soybeans. I think that the other, mixture, I think, more than anything else, is that I was impressed with, 80% of the people said their decisions basically in concrete. I'll have to see it to believe it when it's all said and done.
Indeed. Well, we have one sooner to deal with. That is a USDA report, which is due out tomorrow morning. Will they have any surprises? And if so, where, do you think?
Well, the market is scared. The market is loaded up with longs, and, of course, those are the commodity funds. And I think a little of that was the oil, gold and silver going up as high as it was. And people, as a natural, at least the commodity fund traders who are very fast, went in and bought a lot of corn, soybeans, and obviously wheat. They're scared that the government is going to come in with larger production estimates. There's always this worry, are they going to surprise us with some sort of something that the off-the-wall deal that we haven't gotten over from the last couple of two or three times that the government surprised us. And, that was even talked about a little bit in the market meeting. And if they can't get it right, let's have legislation so they can get it right, or at least put a footnote in or something. But people want a fair market, and hopefully the government can help us give us the right answers per se.
What's Paul Cooley's assessment of the marketplace today?
Well, it's a long liquidation. The market is extremely nervous, and obviously the corn is the leader. Also, I wanted to share with you, I had about four phone calls about your interview with John Bondurant. we did talk. I did kind of critique him a little bit, and a couple of things in the cotton area.
Right.
If you do raise cotton, can you actually sell it and collect a check?
Right.
And will the check bounce or not bounce next year? You know, there's a lot of problems in the cotton area. And if I was a farmer, I sure wouldn't overload the boat betting on the cotton market per se.
I'll bet John has everything sold.
John has it figured out. But even with a $525,000 new cotton picker,
you know what? I think the thing there was, and maybe people didn't catch the back of half of that, because I asked him what he was doing on the planting, and he said he was went from 500 to 2,500 acres of cotton, and then I followed up. If how long it had been since he'd run that picker in 3 or 4 years. And then he followed up, actually, Paul, and this probably either you listened to yesterday or you haven't heard it yet, with the fact that while they were running, he did not think cotton producers would spend $525,000 on a brand new brand new cotton picker, and that they would only put in the ground the number of acres that they had capacity to pick with current machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the important part of that conversation, and it was sort of buried in that $525,000 and that he was putting an extra 2,000 acres
in. And I mentioned to people, I said, you know, John is a master at the game. He, has a little better sport coat than I wear, and he has been a very, very successful man as far as trading and landowner and player of the markets. And so a tip of the hat to John, yeah. And he's always a good one to listen to.
And how about this? On April 1st, we'll find out whether he actually had the Zerks greased on the cotton, on that cotton picker, and whether they got it out and decided not to plant, too.
Yeah, but John not only has a buy-sell pad on his desk, but he can change in the drop of a hat. He did plant and sell a lot of $5 wheat, too, but... My point is he knows how to get out of a jam quicker than probably a person could snap their finger, too.
I have a question about soybeans from yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with another analyst. I thought that the bean panel, and then in general throughout the day, most folks felt that beans were high enough and that they might be in more trouble than any other commodity. The analysts I talked to didn't seem to think that they got that out of the day yesterday. What did you hear?
Well, I think that there's some feelings that old beans maybe are high enough for the time being, but I think that people have been lulled asleep on this China capping the marketplace over there, and I think the Chinese are going to come in and buy a lot of soybeans. And the big million-dollar question is that if we do have this 9 million acres and have more corn and cotton, so to speak, maybe the bean acreage will go down, and that's where the major problem is. And I still go with the idea that the USDA, when the dust settles, would like to have a big corn acreage planted in the U.S. I think they could sleep a little better and worry about everything else when the time comes. But it's going to be fun to see what happens, and there's a lot of twists and turns, but it's always fun to listen to one of the pros called John Bondurant. He's a lot of fun, and he's a wonderful person.
It is indeed. I'm going to have to go back once we get things posted back to the website. I'm going to have to listen to some of the things, because when you're asking the question, sometimes you don't hear really what is said. It's kind of funny, but I do go back and listen because I know full well that I can think I got something the first time around from the answers.
The other thing I want to share with you, the guys in the Mid-South and the Deep South that way isn't going to bust the corn market one way or the other very much, because, hey, this is where the action is.
Right.
It's the Illinois and that big growing area in Iowa and, of course, our neighbor Indiana. So, you know, those are the big three right there, and don't let anybody forget it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Not only can you hear him, but eventually you'll be able to hear the audio from yesterday's All Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for this Wednesday afternoon.
In agricultural news, Army Corps of Engineer proposed budget cuts could mean that ag shippers would have to pay more to move goods down the Mississippi River to the Gulf. Budget constraints could keep the Army Corps of Engineers from maintaining the lower Mississippi River's 45-foot depth. If the river becomes shallower than 40 feet, it would be more expensive for ag. Silt buildup at the mouth of the Mississippi could force grain companies to load ships lighter, pay more for labor, and slow down barge and rail traffic carrying grain downriver. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has asked the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to extend an April 9 deadline to October 31st to implement a federal pesticide permits program. In its court motion, EPA says that three significant tasks remain. First, EPA must complete consultation as required by the Endangered Species Act. Second, most of the states authorized to administer the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination Program need time in which to review EPA's final permit and issue and implement their own general permits to authorize discharges within their jurisdictions. And third, EPA needs to develop an electronic system by which the regulated community can give EPA notice of the discharges sought to be covered under the permit in order to ensure effective oversight by the public and EPA of implementation of the permit. EPA already received a 2-year stay on the original April 2009 deadline. Obama administration officials, including USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, are ramping up their push to get Congress to quickly approve the South Korean Free Trade Agreement. Vilsack held a conference call with reporters yesterday specifically to tout the benefits of the deal. Vilsack said USDA agricultural exports to the country would increase by $1.8 billion a year. The South Korean FTA has not been delivered to Congress. Vilsack said the document is still being translated but will be sent to Capitol Hill soon. Rumors around Washington indicate that U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk is high on President Barack Obama's list of candidates to replace outgoing Commerce Secretary Gary Locke, who has been nominated to become the next U.S. ambassador to China. Should Kirk get the nod at Commerce, it would accelerate a game of musical chairs within the administration's trade policy area. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that yesterday's All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, at least the audio from that meeting, will be posted to our website shortly. You can check in periodically and eventually find it at WILLAG.org. We post almost all of our agricultural programming there, including yesterday's All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at WILLAG.org. Now up next, you know, University of Illinois researchers are looking for some help doing an on-farm trial. I'll have more behind the reasons for the cover crop experiment. Vegetable farmers will oftentimes lay land out for a year or let it go fallow as part of their normal crop rotation. It's exactly that piece of property University of Illinois crop scientist Dan Anderson would like to use in a small farm cover crop experiment.
And so this project is kind of looking at how farmers of that genre manage that fallow land, and also testing some ideas for managing it either to help them control weeds for the following crop or to add fertility or whatever their soil and farm needs are. We've got some strategies to test.
But Anderson needs some help. He's looking for 10 small-scale vegetable crop producers interested in participating in a cover crop study.
Cover crop is a crop you grow but don't harvest. It's grown for the benefit of the soil. Mainly, like rye and vetch are a common one around here, or field peas, or oats that aren't harvested but just turned under. Sudan grass is another one that we use to help control thistle. Just grow it as a cover cut it down and turn it under. Don't harvest anything off of it.
The Illinois researcher says he hopes to learn as much from the farmers as he does from the research, and as is many times the case, the producer will be compensated for their participation in the cover crop study.
There's a $500 honorarium for farmers that help out, and it's just a one-year project, so they can apply. Can I share the website? They can either call me directly, Dan Anderson at the University of Illinois, 217-621-7974, or they can go online and fill out an application at tiny.cc/fallowstudy.
Again, that address is tiny.cc/fallowstudy. That's tiny.cc/fallowstudy. Or call Dan Anderson at 217-621-7974, 217-621-7974, to participate in the officially titled Sustainable Vegetable Rotation Trial. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take up the agricultural cash grain markets, Scott Butcher. He's with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, at their Climbers facility. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the ethanol plant first. How's it operating today, or is it still down?
Things are back up and running. We're trying to get back up to full capacity. I think we're pretty close to that anyway. We're still seeing a lot of corn coming our way since we've opened back up, so we're seeing obviously a lot of that flowing back towards us, so it's making things a little bit hectic around here, but we're juggling it the best we can.
I bet you are. So when you try to come back up to full capacity, is it a matter of getting the corn in, which it sounds like you're needing to at this point, or does it just not operate at full capacity for a couple of days, and how long does that take to bring it all the way up to boilerplate?
Yeah, I think every downtime is different. I mean, it seems like, you know, you'll always have issues when you come back up as far as getting the plant back up and going again. I think kind of depends on what you were working on, too. I mean, obviously different parts of the plant are a little more challenging when you're coming back up. But normally everything, you know, what we've seen since we've been open, everything is normally pretty smooth. We can come back up fairly quickly and, you know, get back up to boilerplate.
How are producers, the end users in your area, that is, doing gathering soybeans in still for old crop?
Yeah, it seems like the soybeans are becoming more and more scarce in our area. We're not really seeing a lot of movement. I think it's going to be, a lot of beans have already moved, and I think it's going to be a while before, you know, we really see anything else.
What are cash bids like for you today?
Cash corn right now, we're $6.88, beans $13.27.
All right, anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
I don't think so.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons there in Delphi, Indiana, at their Climbers facilities. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. In just a couple minutes, I'll return when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
It's National Crab Meat Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, the first U.S. patent for a street mailbox was issued to Albert Potts of Philadelphia. It comprised a simple metal box designed to attach to a lamppost. By August, the boxes were found along the streets of Boston and New York City. In 1876, the new state of Colorado created a state board of agriculture to oversee a new agricultural college. which, according to its formation document, shall be a high seminary of learning in which graduates of both sexes can study those sciences and arts which bear directly on agriculture. In 1891, the Washington State Legislature approved the Puyallup Agriculture Experiment Station to study horticulture. In 1900, Howard Aiken was born, an American mathematician. He invented the Harvard Mark I, the forerunner of the modern electronic digital computer. By the way, the machine weighed 35 tons and had 500 miles of wire. In 1974, about 9,000 ILWU sugar workers went on strike for 39 days in opposition to plans by Grove Farm to displace some 100 workers. By the way, at the time of the strike, sugar came in at $300 to $350 a ton. Soon after, it went as high as $1,260 a ton because of an international shortage of sugar. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, let's take a look at what's been happening in Brazil and Argentina first. It's been wet in parts of Brazil. Will they get any relief?
They are actually getting a little bit of relief now, even though the pattern is still promoting additional shower and thunderstorm activity for the next full week. The intensity of the rain is not going to be nearly what it has been up to this point in time. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound very good, and really, I don't think it is all that great. But what's important in Brazil, you know, they can harvest crops in pretty wet conditions in many situations. And if they can get the excess moisture out of the way, in other words, allow for the surplus moisture to go ahead and run off downstream while rainfall each afternoon pops up and is relatively light, I think they can actually work their way into a position where they can do some more harvesting in about a week or so, even if there's still a daily occurrence of showers. Now, that's only going to be true in those areas that are, you know, a little sloped and can dry down a little bit, but I do think that the potential does exist that they will get out of the mess they're in relatively soon. Now, all this is really focused on Minas Gerais and parts of Goiás, a few neighboring areas in eastern Mato Grosso, do Sul and Mato Grosso, but the rest of the country is doing very well. Some drying conditions now underway in Sao Paulo, where it's been very wet in the past weeks, and that's going to continue for the next full week. Paraná and everybody to the south is in great shape. So it's really, I think the media has probably made it sound a little bit worse than it is. There's definitely some issues there, but there's a large part of Brazil that still is in great shape.
Take a look around the rest of the planet then. Tell me about any of the rest of the hot spots that might be too much rainfall or too little, please.
Well, it looks like most of the world is doing relatively well right now. I think we've got some issues here in our own backyard that we have to continue to watch real closely. We got some significant rain to occur this week in parts of hard red wheat country. It was really good precipitation in a part of Kansas, but there were other portions of Kansas that didn't do that well. The same is true for Colorado. But more importantly, the entire state of Texas, big part of southwestern Oklahoma, are still very dry, and there's no real sign of significant precipitation coming up. Now, they plant corn and sorghum and cotton at this time of the year in southern portions of Texas, and it's just a matter of a few weeks before it gets into West Texas. And if we don't get better rains than what's being advertised in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be some significant delay in field work down that way. In contrast, of course, we've got some flooding that's occurring across the Midwest, and that's going to be with us over the coming week, even though we will see less intensive storm systems as they come across the region during that period of time. The odds are fairly good that we'll actually see the floodwaters slowly recede during the course of the coming week. But one other thing I am concerned about in the U.S. is that I think during the period between the 17th and the 25th of March, we will see a big increase in storminess, both rain and snow across a big part of the region, and some more colder weather. So we're not done with winter yet.
Thanks so much, Drew, for being with us today.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.